Welcome back, Nostalgia Hunters. Today, we're talking about The Naked Gun. The topic is very topical because a new movie, a remake, is coming up.
The topic is very topical.
I love it.
Was that on purpose?
Yes. He rehearsed this in the mirror earlier.
But yeah, that's right. We got a new Naked Gun coming out, and it's not a remake, right? But it's like a re-envisioning.
Well, it looks like it's a continuation because the trailer literally has like them talking about their fathers.
Yeah, because there's
the O.J. Simpson joke that was hilarious. It was the only thing I left in that trailer.
But it's a sequel, but it's not the 44th in a fourth.
True enough. Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they do that then?
Well,
money.
We'll find out. The jury's still out. It could be terrible coming out right now.
But we haven't seen it. It hasn't actually come out yet as of this recording.
But we have all gone and watched the original Naked Gun. And we're here to talk about it and talk how good it still stands. Is it just nostalgia that people love it? Do the jokes still land? So this is, I'll just start. This was my, I think, second or third time watching it.
Mm. When was the first time you saw it?
How old
were you?
I would be in like 14, something like that. And I think I had the two movies blurred. Mm-hmm. And I think I didn't get the beaver joke once, the first time when I saw it. I very clearly remember what I thought was hilarious. This was probably in the second movie. Was like he's in a shootout, and then in the middle, he's like, ooh, quarter. And he picks up a quarter, puts it in, and he continues in the shootout.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's not in the first movie. But that was one thing I like really, really remembered. When some guy's yelling and shooting at him, and he's like, don't talk and shoot. I can't hear what you're saying.
Yes!
just shoot.
He's up on like the water tower thing.
He's like,
I can't hear you.
And he's like, I can't hear you, man. Stop shooting. Tell me what you're doing.
I love how Frank is, that's actually a continual theme, a continual joke that's super subtle, where he doesn't realize what's going on in the moment, but then realizes it like, 5 seconds later.
Later, yeah.
And it's so subtle, and it's through the whole movie.
It's the when his car, he doesn't put the handbrake on.
Yeah.
He just rolls down, and he's like, this car attacked me, and he starts shooting it.
With the airbags and then, kicking out everywhere.
And then he's like, oh, shit, that's my car.
And then he tries to hide the fact that
anybody get the license of that car? And then you could just see it in his eyes like, oh. That's my. And then he just sort of like goes inside real fast.
Yeah, I think this was actually my first time ever seeing this because I thought OJ was a much bigger part of it, and that would kind of clue me in. It's like, it must have been the second one I've seen when I was younger because he is a bigger part of it. Like, he's barely in this one.
He just gets beat up a lot in this one.
And I knew his Naked Gun. I didn't know it was like Naked Gun, whatever, stories of police squad, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea this is based from a TV show.
Yep.
I had no idea.
Yeah. That was their first idea. It's they're called Zaz. The directors, it's three people together. It's called ZAZ.
Zuckerberg. Not Zuckerberg. He probably.
Well, the two Z's were the same name. I know that. So
He might not even
Zucker,
been alive in
Abrahams and Zucker.
Yeah. There
you go. Zuckers. Double Zuckered there.
Andy with the notes.
But yeah, they had made the TV show, and they canceled it. They didn't take to the deadpan because it's the same, and they made it with him, and they just didn't take to the deadpan nature of it. I loved the opening credits. The police siren just
was going through everything.
It was driving to the person's house.
It went through like the locker room, and then it ended up on like a roller coaster. And I'm just like, that's brilliant way to start a movie.
Well, it's funny because like I was going to try to have enough time to watch the sequels as well before it came in here. I got through the first like 8 minutes of 2.5 or whatever it is. And that's all I got far enough. But it did the same little opening with the thing and whatnot. And then it gets to stopping at a stoplight. And Zsa Zsa Gabor gets out of a car and walks over and smacks the light to shut it off. And I'm like, okay.
That was topical at the time because she slapped somebody famous or a police officer or something like that and got in trouble. So that was the joke. She slapped somebody she wasn't supposed to, got in trouble, and then she kind of rolled with it.
Speaking of topical, there were definitely a couple things in the first one that we watched that were very topical, very timely. Like the scene where all the like the evil dictators are all talking to each other.
There were
people from like the Gulf War.
There was like
War
Gorbachev and then like whoever the Cuban, like Fidel Castro and oh boy, who else? They have like
I can't remember.
There's a bunch of them, but yeah, they're all like real world people.
Real world people that are kind of dead now.
Almost all of them are dead, I think. Yeah. Dude, when he like put Gorbachev in like a headlock and then like
wipes his forehead.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because Gorbachev was famous for that birthmark on his bald head. He wiped off. He's like, I knew it.
I'm like, that's so good.
Yeah.
So they're parodying procedurals, right? Like police. So there's a Dirty Harry parody joke because it's scene for scene taken from Dirty Harry. From Dirty Harry, where they tell Clint Eastwood, I don't want that. Whatever happened in Los Angeles Village again happening here, whatever. And in this, he says, well, if I see a man chasing a woman to assault her, I shoot that man. That's my law. In this, it's like, if I see five men chasing a woman in the park.
And stabbing
her. Stabbing her, I shoot them. That's my law. And it's like, they were doing Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You moron. I think that's the first time anyone like actually insults him for being stupid.
I did love how they, we were talking about the scene with all the world leaders, or at least like the people that were kind of at the time considered really bad and pretty much are. But later on, they explained why he was there. Like it was a little drop-in line about he went on vacation. Lebanon.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't notice that line.
Like it was great writing because it's not like because it didn't tell you why. I was like, why in the hell was he there? Is this so random? But it actually wasn't random.
Yeah, you think he was on assignment or something.
Yeah, he was on assignment, but he's police squad. Yeah. He's like freaking like he wasn't in the United States. He even literally said he's like, you ever come to the United States and you know you'll mess with us in police squad.
I think he was trying to get over his girlfriend leaving him.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Or when he came back, I liked the Weird Al cameo.
Oh, yeah, it's not you. Yeah, Weird Al.
Weird Al is on the plane.
I love this movie with its theming, with its jokes, because there was so many subtle things. But like every time he got in the car, what happened? Every time he tried to stop,
right?
Something happened. Usually he either ran into something and something happened. Or, like, I guess when they got to some place, he had, like, the whole, like, cars.
The whole luggage.
All the luggages and stuff like that. And so every time he got out of a car, something happened. I was just like, and it was subtle because he never noticed it, never paid attention to it, didn't draw anything to it. It was just there as a visual gag.
And he never put his car in park either.
Yeah.
Well, I must be Mr. Drebin because I didn't notice that happened every time he stopped. I mean, like, I would have seen what was happening in that time, but I didn't piece together that happened.
There was a pylon without hitting something. Like the pylon at the pier hits the guy, he goes in the water. The fucking outline of OJ's body
floating in the water. Oh yes.
Oh, I started cackling. Yeah, so
Becca
hard
started
at that.
Watching at me. With me a bit there, and we saw that and thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, and there's another time when he stopped. He hit like a scaffolding with a bunch of painters or somebody doing work. Everybody falls off. Like that just it was so consistent.
Yep.
For me, the first thing that turned me off, because I started 2 weeks ago, and then I immediately, 15 minutes in, I was like, I can't watch this. There were too many, I felt like it was just like, joke.
Yeah, okay, I was feeling kind of the same way.
This is too much.
The jokes were like nonstop.
Yeah.
And at some points in the movie, it worked really well.
Yeah.
Especially when the jokes kind of led into each other and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or if, like, the freaking thing with the fish in the pin, like, it foreshadowed itself you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen. Yep, that happened. But, like, yeah, certain parts of the movie, it definitely seemed like they were just trying to shove as many jokes as they could into a scene.
I agree with that, but I have a kind of a counterpoint to that. I can definitely see where you might think there's too many jokes, but they were different joke styles. and subtlety. Some of them were obvious jokes in your face. Then there's other stuff. Like, I think he walked into his apartment one time and he took off his gun and it was a bra.
Yeah.
Yes. It was like yeah. 1 second thing, but it was there. So it has like this completely different than the other jokes. And then like, what was it? I seen when he first met, what's her name? The hot girl he starts dating. I can't remember what her name is in the movie. Anyway, she like falls down the stairs, but he also fell down the stairs. That was another theme, I guess, like why they're like, I don't know, meant for each other, because they both run into shit all the time.
Speaking of that scene, I have a question. I'm curious if anyone can explain this to me.
The beaver joke?
Because I have a thought as to what it was, but I don't really know for sure. When he complimented on her her anklet, and she seemed like, oh, that one, but, and was pointing out, was like, was that supposed to be a joke? Like it was like a bracelet, like a and somehow went all the way down. Like what?
That or garter?
I was
something?
Thinking it was she was wearing those as her panties, and they slipped down around her ankle.
Yeah, but it only so be she had one
it was
just one
that
ankle.
Was like a bracelet, and that was her leg though. Underwear.
The, I mean, the only I mean, think about it. There's like a garter, but that's that's not a joke.
Yeah.
So I know, but later I didn't he's like, this belongs to you, and returns to her, and then she goes, this is not mine. And he's like, never mind, and he tosses it away.
Oh yeah, that was something different.
Yeah. That was a different thing. Yeah.
That was just from another lady or something like that. And she's like, you know, that's not mine. And so he's like, oh, and he realizes it and tosses it.
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't catch what that joke was supposed to be.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
Okay. Wasn't just me then. So sweet.
I'll say this. As many jokes as there were, some did make me I'll say a good amount made me laugh out loud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think for everything, they went with the logic. And then this was like, I think Seinfeld also had it for their logic for Seinfeld show. Like, why does this happen? And the answer should be something funny. It should never be, oh, because he's going to do this and then he'll do that. Like, none of everything in between should also be funny. So every time he says, well, why does this happen? Or what happens here? Is always the answer is something funny is going to happen. Like, he sneaks into the office. He's going to destroy everything in there. He's going to light a fire. He's going to find weird stuff in there. So everything is... He's out on the ledge. He holds on to private parts of this thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be funny. He breaks into a woman's... Well, what happens there? Well, he's got a giant dildo in his hand now. Stone dildo, right?
Oh, my God. Okay. One of the jokes, I have to call this out because I thought it was brilliant, was the kind of like foreshadowing because it was a mini joke. When he was breaking into that dude's office and he hits the piano button and the piano starts playing and he turns it off immediately. And you're like, okay, that was the joke. But then later on, all the other stuff happens and the piano starts playing. It comes back around. It's an even bigger joke. And I was just like, that was brilliant. That at least for me, that hit.
Yeah.
Getting in the, it's like now we're recalling all the one. Getting into the car and it's a driving instructor.
Oh, yeah.
And then she goes straight up and he's like, stay calm. Just put it in reverse.
Yeah.
Put your hand out. Extend your middle finger.
Yeah. Like, you know,
the instructor.
The guy's just like.
Well, and that's like a meme gif that like I've seen all over Reddit and whatnot of the dude going as he drives off.
So I want to bring up a specific scene in there for a reason. So the scene where the baseball field.
Right.
First off, that scene I guess was apparently filmed before the rest of the entire movie. Because it was, I think it was it Dodger Stadium, I think?
Angels.
No. The actual stadium.
Oh, the actual stadium.
The actual stadium, I believe it was the Dodgers.
Oh, Angels playing somebody.
And they had to get that recorded before the actual season started.
Oh.
But the whole thing of how he came out as the opera person, and then later on he's the umpire, and they're like, you know, watch his butt, like, you know, he's the umpire, thinking it was a singer and everything. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, or found it in any of the stuff you were looking up, but when Nielsen died in 2010, ESPN published an obituary for Enrico Palazzo, writing, a true Renaissance man, Palazzo umpired the game after performing the national anthem. Palazzo was the first and only umpire to eject another umpire from a major league game. He also is believed to be the first and only umpire to use an upright vacuum cleaner to tidy up home plate.
That's
and I went and found the article.
That's the obituary?
Awesome.
Yeah, the actual article on ESPN.
I think even one of the original soundtracks in that, they played it at his funeral from that game, I think, whatever they had the soundtrack for it.
But yeah, I just thought it was funny. Like they actually did a whole article about this you know, singer umpire.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, whoever came up with that, that's classy. Like, that's a good way to, you know, dedicate, you know, something that was pretty funny scene.
Yeah.
To, you know, that's classy.
But I also loved that scene, like, when they, when he got on with the crowd and how, like, they were happy when he's doing it. So he starts, he's like,
getting into it. Like, yeah.
Look at this paragraph. Born Dutch-Irish to a Welsh father.
Yeah, I love, said, that was another subtle joke. Yeah. That is like Dutch-Irish to a Welsh father.
Palazzo began his career as a locksmith and later practiced medicine after discovering that Soviet leader Gorbachev's famed birthmark was actually a wine stain. Palazzo declined the offer of a cabinet position by President George W. Bush. H.W. Bush.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if that's from part two or not, because like I said, I started to watch part two, and George Bush is like right in the beginning of that movie.
I was thinking about watching
three. The real one, but.
I was also thinking about watching all three, but I didn't want to mix them, so I just stuck to one, and I don't know. I watched it when I was a little kid. It came out in 1988, and I saw it at some point, and I remember laughing when I was a kid. Probably didn't get all the jokes, but it was great. Back then, and I had probably not seen that movie since the early 2000s, and I watched it last night, and I it was a completely different set of eyes, pretty much.
Yeah,
like thought process, everything, and I will get into talking about whether we like stuff or not, but like it was interesting thinking about what my kid brain loved, and then what my adult brain likes, and it's actually a little different. But
speaking of kid brain, adult brain. I was like, my mind was thrown for a loop when they're in the baseball scene and freaking Randy Newman comes on singing, forgot whatever the song was. And I'm like, that's Toy Story guy. This is an adult movie. Yeah, that was an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah, I know. When Randy Newman walks into the adult movies I'm watching, I'm always confused.
Does that happen often with your adult movies?
This is what I mean. It's like, Randy Newman, this is an adult movie.
Adult movie.
I don't even know what Naked Gun would have been rated. I guess R? But
R didn't exist yet. R
existed. PG-13 didn't exist.
That's what I mean. PG-13 was created
mid-80s. So I bet you it was just rated like PG or whatever, because I think that's all they had at the time.
Is that in your notes, Andy?
No, I don't think
I don't.
Well, it came out in 88. PG-13 would have existed by that point.
Well, it's whenever Temple of Doom came out is when all the big hubbub came out, and they ended up adding that
PG-13. I thought it was around Ghostbusters.
It was. Temple of Doom was in there, too.
Because Ghostbusters came out in 84.
Well, I think Temple of Doom came out in 85.
Think about it. It's a PG movie with a blowjob scene. I mean,
Well, and Temple of Doom had a guy pulling a heart, like a heart out and stuff like that. Like, it was pretty hardcore, so, and parents were pissed about that, but.
I'd be very, very surprised if this was like R or anything.
It didn't seem R to me.
I practice safe sex, and then they put on like giant condoms.
Oh my god, those huge freaking condoms!
I remember.
I remember
laughing about that as a kid.
I'm sorry,
and I didn't even know why I was laughing. It looked goofy.
It was PG-13.
That one fell flat for me. Yeah, I was just like, that's a little bit.
It was
too over the top.
It was pretty. It was pretty silly, but I don't know. It worked for me. But
I'm not saying I laughed out loud at that part. I didn't, but I was just like, "Oh my god!" Because I was not expecting that. Giant body condoms.
Yeah, there was definitely quite a few jokes that were basically like, "We're going to do this because they are not expecting it."
What'd you think of the? What'd you think of the pistachio joke?
They're
in the stakeout, and they both had like red lips, red fingers. Are those pistachios?
I thought they were
those are green.
Candy-coated peanuts. Boston baked.
Well, they had shells. They had shells or whatnot. That's why I was thinking pistachios. I guess I don't know. I've never eaten whatever they were eating. So whatever it was, what'd you guys think of the joke?
They had red lips.
Okay.
I thought that
like
red lips.
Now when he got out of the car, I was like, oh, that's a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I thought the red lips was going to carry on to the next scene.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a thing where it looked like they were doing stuff. Yeah.
It's almost like they have a reset every scene. Like, it doesn't carry in the old joke, and it just starts anew.
Yeah, they definitely weren't afraid to, like, just kill continuity.
They're like, and it was intentional. It was like, they did the joke, and they never had a joke.
There's
linger.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I
was going to say, there was also a third wall, fourth wall break where so when you're shooting from the set, usually the walls that face the camera are not really walls, right? There's no wall that where the camera is shooting from.
In a what?
sorry. You have to learn that now, Timmy. So there's a wall, and other two characters walk through the door. This is like the doc who's making like a shootable thing where he shoots stuff and gives him that watch. Leslie Nielsen, he just walks in front of the wall like this.
Over. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I never caught that.
You didn't?
Oh, yeah, that like, was like two, a very, two of, very like,
they walk through
one.
The door, and he walks around the wall that the camera usually
yeah.
goes with.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
I guess I missed that one.
I didn't catch
I'll
it.
I have to pay
yeah.
attention.
That one I was like,
yeah, it was one of those shots where it scrolls and you don't even see a wall go past it like that into the next room. He walked around the wall.
Mm-hmm. He basically walks 3D towards us and around the wall and just continues the scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess since we're getting a little further in, what do you guys feel about, have you guys all seen the trailer for the new one?
Yes.
Okay, what do you guys feel after now seeing the original and then having seen the trailer? What are your thoughts?
I just want to say, I'm not sure if the trailer is going to be fully representative of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely always put the funniest bits.
There
in
was definitely still a lot of absurd humor, mm-hmm. and a lot of I was not expecting that kind of humor. But then I feel like all the random like deadpan, like little tiny jokes and whatnot that if you blink you miss it weren't there in the trailer. So I'm hoping those still are, you know, there in the movie.
Well, I think there's potential for this one to, I guess, translate more to an current audience because it's a film coming out now. But also, I could see it could potentially actually be funnier. And the reason I'm saying that is because every movie and role I've ever seen Nielsen in, he plays the same thing. Like, it's just like an idiot. Mm-hmm. Every role, for the most part, you see Liam Neeson in, he's usually some kind of a badass. A Million Days to Die in the West comes to mind as like one of the rare, funny, comedic roles he's done. Mm-hmm. So you see this guy who was Taken and Qui-Gon Jinn and, you know, Schindler's List and all this stuff in a little schoolgirl outfit and with his panties showing and everything like that as he stops a bank robber and by peeling off a Mission Impossible mask style. I'm like, seeing him in a completely different light like that could make it even funnier.
See, I'm on the opposite end of that. Really? I think it's going to be horrible, potentially, because so far the trailers have not made me laugh hardly at all. Mm-hmm. It's all very try-hard. One of the things, Leslie Nielsen is an amazing, his timing and everything. Like, when he's, like, beating somebody up, you could see him. He's like this. Like, he's not freaking Liam Neeson, who's actually kicking ass or anything like that. Even like his motions, his eyes, the way he does stuff is funny. Like everything about it, where Liam Neeson's just like, I'm in Taken, but I'm a parody, you know? And that's where I'm like, that could get really old really fast. Like he's just playing Liam Neeson if he was like told to play a parody of Liam Neeson and not actually in the spirit of Naked Gun and Police Squad.
To the credit of the original one, the timing of everything is super perfect. Of like the him making a joke and like you cut and the sight gag of like whatever it is, right? They park, he looks around, he makes the right face and he walks away and then they kind of pan and show, oh, he's made a mistake, like, you know, mess. That's like she climbs up and is like, nice beaver. And we're like, is she going to kick him?
And there's the little and pause. Like,
the little pause is just enough to make us go, oh, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Like timing,
yeah.
right? Like yeah. you just wait and you go, and then, like, the next thing happens, right? I worry they're not going to nail that.
I did not get that from the trailers. I absolutely agree. I did not get that from the trailers, and I think that's what makes Naked Gun Naked Gun.
But it's just a trailer.
Yeah,
I know. That's true. I don't want to dog on it too much. I'm just saying from the trailers that I've seen, actually, the last trailer did have a couple parts that
has there been was more really... One?
Was pretty, one? There's been at least two, and really? I think maybe okay. three. However, that one joke, the father's joke,
yeah,
with OJ,
yeah,
was that one did make like, that was I was no. like that was so good. It was so good.
Yeah, that's the only one I saw. Like the little girl walks into the bank, he rips it off, you know, and he's like, "Gotcha!" So and then like that part. That's the only thing I've seen.
Yeah, no, there's another trailer that I think's got a few different scenes.
He's like driving down the road and like somebody hands him a coffee through the window or
something like
that.
Yeah, and like that's actually pretty good. That's something
that's the kind I would want to see
Just subtle. Like, it's not like a, it's not like trying to hit you in the face with the joke. It's just something like, you, like, where'd that come from? And, you know, it's not completely random, but kind of like, it's...
I think also, I really hope they stick with practical effects.
Yes.
Don't do a bunch of CGI.
You mean like the whole face thing?
And then
that, yeah, that, that whole thing
that looked,
trailer.
That looked awful. Like, it looked awful. Awful.
That's, that was one thing I worry was also, don't take the shortcut. Because everything was practical here, including the explosions. And there's, like, nothing to see here. And it's all exploding behind him. And that guy keeps not dying. It's like his car explodes. Then he's on a missile. Why is there a missile going through? And that goes through the... Like, he just keeps surviving into an, okay, another bigger one.
The poor doctor who wasn't even a real assassin. Mm-hmm.
Thinking back to that scene, like, as I was watching it, maybe the actual explosion was practical. But it looked like he was, like, inserted into the shot.
Been keyed
he wasn't
in.
Actually
it
there.
It could have been keyed
he was
in.
Totally green, blue screen, green screen, whatever.
It still looked good.
It was green screen for sure, because you could tell one of the guys ran and went past him. Others were still approaching, and they tried their best to not make it, because one person ran and actually shows up in our frame. I thought that was... I noticed it the same thing. I was like, that's a clever, decent green screen, actually. It's not too obvious.
Green screen is fine. CGI, whenever you have three movies where CGI was, like, they literally tried to be practical, that's, you want to try to avoid that.
So my favorite comedic scene in the whole movie did not have Leslie Nielsen in it. Can you guys guess what it is?
It's how OJ dies?
No. He didn't die.
He didn't die. How he gets caught first time.
Nailed it. Andy wins the prize.
Dang.
That
when he
scene
kicked and his foot went through the door, you mean?
Was so fucking funny. Because he just kept, like, everything, like, he got in a bear trap. He, like, he a wedding cake. A fucking wet paint. Like, he's like, he got shot six times. That he hits the wet paint. He's like,
The wet paint was the thing that caught me, where he was like, the insult to my injury.
Wet paint.
And he just puts his hand on the hot stove, and it's like, ugh. Yeah.
And they're all just watching him the whole time, and he goes over the edge. I just love that whole scene. Like, that was my favorite scene in a movie that had a lot of scenes that I really loved. That was actually my favorite, and so.
Well, see, it's funny, because there were definitely scenes that made me laugh out loud, but I spent probably the first 20 minutes of that movie also on my phone, just because I've... Weirdly enough, it's probably not really considered slapstick or anything like that, but I kind of classify it as in there. But like, I've never loved that kind of comedy, which is really weird.
Physical comedy.
Yeah.
Over the top physical comedy.
It's like that. I've never really cared for that kind of stuff. And the jokes when it's just like, I would call it the easy joke, even though I know it wasn't necessarily always easy. They had to, like, find a way to come in and do something subtle, like the bra gun thing like that. But it's I guess I've been always more for comedy that makes you think a little bit versus just, like, the sight gag.
Yeah.
And so it did, while I did laugh at bits of it, I found myself kind of like, I'm kind of bored a few times, which is funny because growing up, I absolutely loved Ace Ventura, which I would also kind of classify
slapstick.
As way over the fucking top.
Yeah.
And I loved that growing up.
I also loved Ace Ventura. So,
so I'm just like, it's a little weird thing that, like, certain areas of it I do, like, love, but then other ones I'm just kind of like, eh.
So you didn't laugh at all at the OJ scene? You're on your phone the whole time?
Well, the closest I came to laughing, which I didn't actually laugh out loud, but the closest thing was, like, the scene where he goes to kick the door in and just his foot comes through. That part I kind of like smirked a little bit, because I'm like, yeah, they always have the badass kicking the door in and his fucking foot, like yeah, that's kind of funny. But yeah, the rest of it I was kind of like, okay.
I laughed at it because I did
until I saw the outline on the water of his body. Then I laughed at that.
I did not expect it to be like that silly off, like it suddenly became Tom and Jerry cartoony. Like everything hurts you, right? Like everything hurts him in the room, and I'm like, he's already shot. And then the
how does this get worse?
Yeah,
but more embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn, a hangnail. No,
then a bear trap in just the room. I loved it.
Yeah, I think what you're saying though is like the density was like too much. But my appreciation is that somehow they moved. There's an actual story. A whole arc, they had the very comedically villainy villain, Ricardo Montalban. Like, he's got this, like, stature. He's got this whole stature of, like, being this suave guy. And you can immediately tell, oh, he's the bad guy. They never even tried to, like, they're like, oh, it's obvious that he's the bad guy.
Yeah, the suave British guy is always the bad guy.
Yeah. And so it somehow they still managed to have an entire
British
storyline,
but he's got an accent. So
yeah, I was like, I don't know what his accent is, but yeah.
And well, what also impressed me, or I was shocked.
Did you have Cuban cigars
when it was over, and it had only been like an hour and 20 minutes or something.
Yes, it's an hour and 25 minutes.
It felt like an episode of a TV show.
Because the Empire part is so long. When he plays the Empire and the whole shtick of like doing things there.
Yeah, but I mean, like it was based on a TV show. They just made a slightly longer episode.
Yeah, true.
And they like the whole reason they changed the name is to not have Police Squad be mixed up with Police Academy.
Yeah.
So they did a bunch of other names to figure something out and chose the Naked Gun. But that's exactly what it was. It was just an extended episode.
I thought
of Police
the pacing
Squad.
For the story was like pretty much perfect. It didn't need to be any longer. I thought that they actually kind of nailed it, because then it could have actually, oh, we got to throw in some more jokes, and then it might have just ended up.
That's so impressive. There's a whole love story that doesn't feel too rushed. Like it's
well because it's kinda... they literally both acknowledged how rushed it was. Like. Yeah. If they didn't, it probably wouldn't have worked so well.
Yeah, which is really funny, because a lot of times when dialogue or anything in the actual movie calls out, they're like, oh, such a cliche kind of thing like that.
Yeah, usually...
people actually point fingers up, like pointing it out doesn't make it any less.
Yeah.
But in this case, you're just like, oh, okay.
Well, so because, I'm just saying it's kind of weird how it went that way. And I think it's because it's a comedy. Like, because of that works for some reason.
Hmm. It's all like... the story is here only to get to the next gag. It's not, let me tell, there's a story and I'm going to put gags in it. Instead, it was, I have a bunch of gags ready and I'm now going to make a story that just flows through it. So the story is just there to get him to the next thing that is funny, next to the next thing that is funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also back to like the love story thing, I did find it funny. There's a throwaway piece of dialogue later on that all those different scenes that make it seem like it's been weeks. It was literally the next day they met.
Yeah.
Like, all of that stuff happened in a day.
And then running at the beach and, like, clotheslining someone.
Oh, yeah. So.
All right, we ready to get into final thoughts here?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think so.
I mean, I might as well go first, because I've already kind of hinted at everything like that, that I was bored for a good chunk of the movie, but still had some laugh-out-loud moments, definitely. I felt like most of my laughing came in the second half of the movie. So, like, I think I enjoyed the second half of it.
Baseball
more
game?
Than the first
basically.
Half. Yeah, well, yeah, a good chunk of the baseball game and some of the stuff leading into before that. But
did you just get bored of your phone, maybe? And you finally started paying attention to the movie?
No. It wasn't that. I was still had stuff going on my phone, but I was enjoying the movie more. But no, it's just kind of like, I feel that this movie, if it came out exactly as it is today, it wouldn't necessarily land as much as it did back then, because I think comedy has kind of grown a little bit in certain ways, not in everything, but in certain ways. It's just it's grown, not necessarily as being better. I guess grown is the wrong word. But it's over the last 40 years, like it's changed. It's not the same anymore that what makes large groups of people laugh. There are moments in this movie that make you laugh, but I don't think the entire thing is. So because of that, I feel it's, even though I'm probably going to be the only one that says this, airs more on the side of nostalgia.
All right, Monaghan, I know you
he's
have
raring
something
to go.
Say.
He's got a lot to say.
Oh, I mean, like, he's entitled to his wrong opinion. But no, I think, like, comedy has gotten way worse. We have almost no comedies anymore. Jokes, timing, everything like that. Stuff that was, like, almost classically trained back then is now lost. You know, people don't have the attention span for stuff like that. Like, you're literally on your phone. Instead of watching a movie, you're on your phone. It's like... The whole movie's just set up for somebody who doesn't have stuff like that, and it's just so well timed. And there's layering to the jokes. There's the ones that are right in your face that are super wacky, but then there's the ones that are kind of like was that a joke? That was a joke. And then there's like some subtle stuff that's just off in the background, or things like the bra taking off. And I'm like, they layer that through the movie. For me anyway, it doesn't ever get old. Like, there's a lot of jokes, but I laughed and I smirked. I smiled. I laughed out loud real heavy. I went back to smiling. I never, ever once, like, I think the only one was, we already talked about it, was like the whole garter diamond thing. Yeah, like that one didn't land, but everything else for me for that movie, I thought I was actually going to go back and watch this and be like, that wasn't very good. I just loved it as a kid because I was a dumb kid and had funny stuff in it. But as an adult who can just go and take each one of these pieces apart and analyze like the amount of timing, like what Leslie Nielsen did just physically with his eyes, with just his motion and stuff like that, I was like, this is brilliant. We don't have this anymore. There is nobody with attention spans anymore that can actually watch this stuff. And I hate that. I absolutely love the movie, and I think it's still cool today.
Okay, wait. Before you say anything, because I know what you're going to say, no, and I'm going to agree.
You don't know what I'm going
to
say.
Okay, well, fine. You're still going to have to wait.
It can be a back and forth.
He's all good. No.
If you want to hear, I'm not trying to dismiss his wrong opinion.
Hold on a minute. Hold on.
We don't need a monologue. I literally just had a comment, and that was going to be it. But like, go search. Go ahead.
All right.
But I was just going to say, I do see Jeffrey's point, though.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of agree with it too. That like a lot of the humor in this, I think overall, is not very mainstream, and so. I struggle with this because I did love the movie, but I also would wonder if it would get the crowds that it would need to be successful.
That's a true point, because it's not about what you like the movie or don't like the movie. It's would it be successful today?
No, it's not.
I don't care about money being made. I care about if people like it or not, if it was funny.
We're just voting
every movie point, wants to make Avatar numbers today, but it's not going to make
callback. You love the N64, but you still voted in nostalgia because it wouldn't go today.
I did, because I'm trying to be a realist here.
Also, it's a shitty console.
And I just, I also just realized that the whole cool versus nostalgia is in my court. I get to decide.
He hasn't even voted yet.
He's the topic bringer. His vote doesn't count.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
true.
Kind
he's
of
the
does.
Host. He's going yeah. to give his opinion.
So we got a nostalgia. We got a cool. And now it's up to me to decide.
Let's let the king have his moment.
All right. Exactly.
Have your moment. Go ahead. All right.
Sir Mike. No. God, that was stupid.
Sir
no,
Douche.
But before you.
Oh, what the hell? Stop it with that.
People are going to start coming in the comments.
They're going to be
so Douche was talking about.
He started talking about the N64 again.
No, but before you break the tie and like sure. let the suspense hold sure. for a second, let me do my comment. What I was going to say is like it also could just be the style of comedy for me because to me it feels like they're going for the obvious joke a lot of times, not always. I don't think many people would have thought to put a bra strap on the top of the back of the gun. That was not as obvious, but it feels like a lot of time. But other movies in that style, where I mentioned Ace Ventura, Major League, I think is fucking hilarious. I love Major League, but it is a similar style.
It's not.
So
If you would have said Hot Shots, yeah, or even like the Scream parody called?
Scary movie.
Yeah. Those are the same. That's the genre. That's the style. Major League is not in that same category. Not even close.
Well, again, like I also said, I'm like putting like slapstick and like little like over the top stuff all in the same genre. Yes, there's sub genres that they're probably not exactly the same. But I feel like they're because Ace Ventura, I wouldn't necessarily put as exactly the same as that either. But I still put it in the same area. But just something because like Airplane, I fucking hate Airplane so much. And that's very similar to this.
In the comments, tell Jeffrey exactly how wrong he is about the absolute classic Airplane.
There's something for the comments.
In Major League, did anybody's head fall off?
Is that a requirement for it to be funny?
I'm just saying, like, well, they're basically, you know, they're in the same kind of style of movie. I'm like, what? It's not even close.
Over the top comedy.
I would actually put Major League as almost more of a dramedy. You know, it's more comedy with a little bit of drama. where Naked Gun is absolutely zero drama. There is nothing.
I want some popcorn, man. Like, usually it's me and Jeffrey going off at each other.
No, well, see, no matter what, I have to argue with a mic. That's how it works.
It has to be one of the mics.
Let's well, go. Still, my point is, like, I don't... It could just be the style of comedy. It doesn't work for
and
me.
That's
because
absolutely
everyone
fair.
I've
that's
watched fair. In that kind of style, I don't like, which is... Would you put Spaceballs in that area?
Ooh. Yes.
I do like Spaceballs.
I would put... That is a similar style. That is... Yeah.
So, I don't know if I would.
I would put it as more... I would see... It's like almost adjacent. Like, it's there. It's like a little bit of overlap, but it's more like a parody
movie of Star Wars. More tightly coupled to the source.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's very
maybe,
much...
Maybe it's more Star Wars.
Here's Darth Vader in here. Yeah.
Maybe disregarding much of realism is maybe what I'm thinking of when I think of these comedies. Because, like, this... Like, it's nothing even remotely what you think of real world. So maybe that's what I'm going for.
I think the first 20 minutes is the reason you were also distracted is this takes a little bit of getting used to. And then you go... Then you get used to the pace of the jokes, and it's like, oh, too many things are coming. Why
that could
is everything?
Be it too.
I think it's like you get in, and then you build a little resistance, and then like, oh, I can enjoy this. But yeah, I felt that.
So after it punches you in the face enough with choke, you get used to being smashed in the face, and you're like, okay, I can deal with it.
You need a speed bag or something. I can go upstairs and get one.
But yeah, I think you build a resistance and then it feels okay.
Setting the office on fire where I started getting bored. Well, I enjoyed the killing of the fish too. Well, that comes out wrong.
I enjoyed the scene. And in the comments, let's see how many of you support Jeffrey and his fish killing ways.
Hey, I love some sushi, man. I'm just saying.
I mean, that is, yeah, okay, that's fair. That's fair.
But yeah, so anyways.
Okay, so
what are you voting?
The fire.
The king. The king needs to talk. He's on his throne.
Right. So I lost my train of thought completely since we went on that tangent. But yeah. So I do agree with Jeffrey a lot, in regards to it likely not drawing the crowds it would need to be successful. But at the same time, I'm just like, what is cool? Does it have to be popular to be cool?
Jeez, every episode we always question what is cool versus what is necessary. Every episode we have
cool
to do
is
it.
Relative.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Cool is
it's subjective. It is relative.
And cool does not equate to cash, money.
And what I also think of is even if it wasn't a mainstream hit, I think it would still be a hit with critics. And so
this a hit with critics?
I think today it would. I don't care.
Oh,
if it
Roger
was
Ebert liked it. He was like, "It's made by a fifth grader."
I have lost all respect
for fifth graders. But he was like, "But I laughed a lot." He was like, "This is a ridiculous movie, but we enjoyed it." He was like, "Don't treat this as some kind of classic."
Can I go on a side tangent about Roger Ebert real quick?
No, I'm never going to be able to make my judgment.
I just finished reading the Robin Williams biography this morning, and pretty much every one of what you would think of as Robin Williams' best movies got bashed by the critics, including Ebert. And I'm like, but he said good things about this movie, and he's bashing like Dead Poets Society, Good Morning Vietnam, and stuff like that. I'm like, really?
Maybe he just had it for Robin Williams.
Yeah, maybe they're like, this Robin movie's Williams. Trying to be a very serious movie, and so they also get in overly critical about it.
Maybe he was sitting there on his phone the whole time, wasn't really paying attention, you know?
Maybe.
He was playing with the rotary dial.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this thing makes a nice noise.
Cool. All right.
Tangent over. Oh, the king needs to talk. Sorry, guys.
Right.
Fire!
You know, I'm going to not waste any more time, and I'm just going to put it out there. My judgment is cool.
Oh, okay.
I love how you played that, because you went, and it could have gone either way. And if you went nostalgia, I was going to be like, yes, and I was going to go nuts. But they're like, cool. I'm like,
sorry.
For me, it was actually 60-40 cool. For me, and I was surprised. I thought it was going to be purely nostalgia. But I think this was, it's like, this has been copied so much and now it's not a new thing for us. But at that time, saying that, take it out as how you will. But at that time, it was a lot of new innovative way in which they did some things and just things happening in the background, and they're not like jabbing at the finger of like, oh, this is the joke, let's make it the central thing. They also had subtle background things.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like if you now, through the years, make it as subtle as you can, then things like, I don't know if you guys watched Community or something like that shows. I did. Those will have like even more, there'll be an entire story that happens in just background characters that they never point at. Mm-hmm. And there's like very subtle things. So that's like the filter down version of it. So yeah, it's not for our audience of this time, I guess. Or maybe it is, because it has so many jokes, and that's what keeps your attention. Is that you?
Well,
need
they literally
some
have
jokes.
The new one coming out, so maybe
we'll find out.
I would absolutely love for there to be more movies like, you know, the original Naked Gun, and I'm absolutely worried that they're going to try to make a 2025 version of Naked Gun and just completely forget what
Miss
made
the
original
yeah.
funny. All yeah. the smart writing, all the callbacks, all the layered stuff, and just make it slapstick or here's something random. Isn't that so funny? Ha ha! That's like so
right.
common in 2025.
Let's see, when does the new one even come out?
August 1st.
August 1st?
In a month. Mm-hmm. Less than a month.
Less than a month.
Curious if we should all go see it on the day and then like go live on the channel after we see it and be like, all right, well, here's what we thought of the new one.
I'd be
from
game.
The movie theater, we just like sit down yeah. right there.
From the movie theater. We'll think about that, guys.
Yeah, we'll think about it. So since my vote doesn't count, but I still thought it was 60% cool versus 40% not so cool. Nostalgic, I guess.
And that makes us 75% right in the room.
Yeah.
So just throwing numbers.
I walked
out
away
there.
With passing. You know, I walked away with memorable things where I will remember that gag for sure. Then there were like several of them. Like him moonwalking as the Empire on the thing. And then
oh God,
he's like
yeah.
hoovering the whole like the plate and stuff, like dusting it, and they're cleaning with the bigger vacuum.
He does the really like big the running thing. Walk thing to, out yeah, and he just yeah. nods, there's just a player right there. Just little stuff like that. Like, you know, I could see some people being like, oh, that's the easy joke. But it was like, it was so in line.
Oh,
and in
some people would think that's the easy
joke. Oh, no, he gestured toward me.
Yeah, oh, no, I'm flat out. Like, I got him on blast over here. I'm fine with that.
I've been blacklisted. Well, next episode, you won't see me. So,
so
bring us home, Andy. Bring us home.
We'll bring it home. It's cool, guys. Go watch it, okay? And tell us if it's cool or not. He hates it. Look,
it
cool or not,
moments.
Yeah, cool or
it
not, we promise
moments.
You at least two or three laugh out
moments.
This
is an interesting remote. Yeah. Just pay attention to this set of a movie.
Sorry, you'll Andy. Have some fun moments in there for sure. You'll be surprised. And that's our episode. So please like, subscribe, bell icon, whatever. But talk to us in the comments. We want to hear what you guys feel. Because it was a close one. People were kind of divided on
yep.
this.
We had some debate this
yeah.
time.
Could have
yeah.
went either way. This was actually a close one.
And, mm-hmm. you know, someone had to debate a mic, as usual. And we had to question the...
Someone. It's always me.
I'm waiting for y'all to fight with each other.
Yeah, we had to question the metaphysical meaning of cool also. So yeah. that's all in our great episode.
Yeah, and next time we pick another topic that's topical.
Topical topics are very topical. So.
But and on that note,
on that bombshell, let's call it good. Thank
I'm not Mike.
And
I'm not Mike either.
And we are.
We are. We
are
Mike.
Mike.
Yeah, we are. We are Legion.
it's the Mikes and these folks.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Have a good one, everybody. Guys.